God, we come before you this morning thankful that you have given us the ability to worship you. God, I pray that you would quieten our hearts, and that for the next few moments, that you would speak through me, and that we would hear your word this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. So this past week, our staff did an AED training, which is kind of like a defibrillator if your heart has some issues. And we actually have a few of them here on staff. And I have a scary thought for you. I could save your life someday. Just think about that for a moment. Add that to my job description. But no, when we were getting the training, the guy who came, he made something very, very clear the whole time, that the most important part was not the AED machine, it wasn't giving mouth-to-mouth, it was CPR. The whole time he kept saying over and over again, don't stop CPR, keep it going. If you're by yourself, you don't do anything until the ambulance get there. If you're there with two people, you switch off back and forth, because with the CPR, it keeps the blood pumping to different parts of the body and gets the oxygen where it needs to go. If that stops, nothing else really matters, right? It's all about the heart. And as we looked at the book of 1 John over the last several weeks, we've gotten to take a glimpse at the heartbeat of God. And I feel like it's the same thing, that it's really the heart that matters, that God sent his son to this earth for, was our hearts. Well, we see some really cool things, and we're going to wrap it up today. It's the last chapter of John. It's chapter 5, and I want us to remember something. There's this form of communication that's been around for centuries, actually millennia. John the Apostle, when he wrote this, used this communication. Martin Luther used this. Even my parents used to use this form of communication. What is it? The letter. I don't really use this communication very much anymore, and so I lose this appreciation for what it means to write a letter, because the book of 1 John, we call it a book, but it was really more of a letter. And as we come to a close, John is closing a letter. He's giving us his final remarks, his final thoughts. And when I was reading through it, it kind of caught me off guard. Sometimes I think God smiles on me, that he's like, you're going to preach about that? I'm going to teach you something too. And it caught me off guard, because when I was reading it, the first five chapters of the story, the idea are very familiar. We're children of God. God loves us. We want to keep his commands, and he sent his son as a sacrifice for us, for me personally. But then we get to verse 10, and we have to remember that the Bible was originally written in Greek, and it's been translated into English. There's many translations. They're all great. And I try to sometimes, when I'm looking at just one verse, so I don't take something out of context, read several translations. So I started off reading it in the NLT, and it says, all who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. And that really hit me, that this testimony is true. That you know that, that it's about the heart. And so I checked a couple other translations. I checked the NIV and the Message and the ESV, and they all say the same, but they end it slightly differently. In the NIV, it says, accepts this testimony. The Message, it says, inwardly confirms God's testimony. In the ESV, it says, has the testimony in himself. But they all have this idea that it's not just something you know, it's something inside of you. I don't usually do this, but I don't speak Greek, but I do speak German, and so I even looked it up in German, and I was like, I wonder what Martin Luther and the old German people said. And as I tried to translate it myself into English, what it says in German says, wer an diesen Sohn Gottes glaubt, der ist am seinen Innersten von der Wahrheit dieser Aussage überzeugt. And I love the way it says it, because this is like the Jeremy version of the Bible, so please don't ever quote this. This is what, if I translate it word for word, it says, those who believe in the Son of God, they are convinced in their innermost being of his testimony. And so reading that in five different ways, it really hit me that this isn't an intellectual exercise. That John, after he's written this whole letter, he wants to make sure we get it. It's not just about up here, that it's really more about what is in our heart and who he is and how that affects each other. When I was 22 years old, there was this girl that I thought was really cute. And so did everyone else on campus. And I finally worked up the gumption to ask her on a date. And this is at the time, that was like 2 days after I'd asked Sarah out, the one on the top right. Don't we look so young? Oh man, I love looking at pictures like that. Not really, because now I have these bags under my eyes because of my children. But and we went on dates, and we dated for about 9 months. And during those 9 months, we really got to know each other. But I knew that God was calling me into full-time ministry and this cool opportunity to live overseas and do missions work in the Middle East for a year. And so while I was in the Middle East and my wife was living in the States, not my wife, my girlfriend, was living in the States, we spent a ton of time talking on the phone. We wrote a few letters, but mostly spent time talking on the phone. And it came to a point about two-thirds of the way through that year, after praying a ton and talking to the guys that I was with over there doing missions work, that I realized that I really love this girl and I wanted to marry her. I couldn't explain it, but I just knew that she was the one I wanted to marry. I don't know if she knew that at the time yet or not, but when I got home after a year, it only took me about 5 or 6 weeks to talk to her dad and get his blessing, buy a ring, and then ask her. And thankfully, she said yes. This was like the, whew, talk about being nervous moment, but she said yes, and it was really cool. But I want to fast forward to about 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I was talking to a young lady in this church, and she asked me out of the blue, Jeremy, how did you know that Sarah was the one that you loved and that you wanted to marry her? And I was like, whoa, that's a good question. And I thought for a minute, I was like, I think I just knew. Like something in my heart knew. It wasn't like I came to a point where there was one extra piece of evidence that proved to me she's going to be a good wife, or I did the calculations and figured out we're 88% compatible. What else could I ask for, right? No, it wasn't something like that. I just knew that she was the one I loved, and that God had confirmed that to me in my heart. And I believe that when John is talking about knowing the testimony of Jesus in your innermost being, it's got to be something like that. It's not something that I can prove to you. It's not something that he wanted to prove to you, but it's something that he knew. See, John was a little unique in that he was the only disciple that died of old age. All the other disciples died a martyr's death, but he didn't live as a free man. He was exiled to an island and lived out his days in captivity. And he, along with those other disciples, they all banked their life on the fact that they knew in their hearts that Jesus was who he says he was and that he loved them. Have you ever asked yourself the question, do I really believe this? Is God really real? Could I be wrong? When I read passages like this, it makes me ask that question again. And I pondered it for a while, but then I came to the conclusion, which was really encouraging for me, that I do. After thinking about it for a little while, I had this reassurance in my heart that, you know what? I do. I've been following the Lord for a long time, and every time I look for more evidence, every time I read his word, every time I meet other believers, I come to a deeper knowledge that it really is true, that he is who he says he was, that he is real, and that I'm not wrong. If you look through the Bible, you can find many different passages, many different chapters, many different books that share the gospel, this good news of who is Jesus. And I would have never thought about looking at the book of 1 John chapter 5, but even in this short last chapter of John's letter, you can see the gospel. In verse 1 of chapter 5, he says, I'm a child of God. And then in verse 6, he goes on to say, God revealed himself as Jesus Christ, and that he died for our sins. And then, right after he tells us in verse 10 that we need to know this in our innermost being, in verse 11, he talks about how we have eternal life through his Son. And that's not just eternal life that will start someday, but starting today, we get to spend our entire lives with Jesus. Some of us may be totally new to this whole idea of Jesus, this whole idea of the Bible. And for you, it may sound a little crazy, and honestly it is. How could you know in your heart or be in love with somebody you've never physically seen before, you don't understand everything about? You're right, it's kind of out there. But I believe it's a journey. I believe it's a journey that as you get to know Jesus, he will reveal himself to you more and more. Before I fell in love with Sarah, I cared about her, but not in the same way I do now. And I'm not some special guy. There's tons of husbands across this globe that love their wives too, and they will tell you that it doesn't happen overnight, that as you get to know each other more and more, you build a deeper relationship with one another. And so I would challenge you just to keep searching. I don't have all the answers, but I do know that as we read his word, and that as we get to know Jesus, that he will reveal himself to you. Not me, not somebody else, but he himself will reveal who he is to you. And some of us have been coming to church for a long, long, long time. And we're doing what we need to be doing. We're serving God. We're in his word. And you probably know the Bible a lot better than I do. And for you, I would say keep going. Keep pursuing Christ. But I give one word of caution, one word of challenge. Don't keep doing and miss being. Don't keep doing and miss being. I feel like it's so easy to get caught up in the things that we do, and none of which are bad, they're all good, but we miss out on just simply being with Jesus and having that testimony in our hearts. Doing is temporary, and it depends on us, but being is eternal and depends on Christ. Some of us have been coming to church for a while, and we really are convinced in our heart, we know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And we enjoy getting to know him, and we've been challenged in so many different ways. And for us, I would say, who are you sharing it with? If Jesus has transformed your life, if he has become part of who you are, how are you sharing that with somebody else? Are we connecting with other people? And this is the part that really scares me. Because I believe the only way that you can really show that Jesus Christ has changed your life is if you share that with other people. If you love other people. If you care for other people. Because Jesus' heart was for us. And so why would we not care for the people that he cares about? It's like he's put the ball in my hands and said, Jeremy, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And so after you think about that, his testimony is in our heart, we're left with the question, what now? What do we do? If we have this in our hearts, if we really have taken it to be a part of who we are, what do we do with it? Well, John gives us an awesome next step in the next few verses. In John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, he continues. He says, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know in our hearts, and since we know that he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he gives us what we ask for. And he continues in verse 16. He says, if a fellow believer is sinning in a way that does not lead to death, you should tell him what they are doing is wrong. And you should post about it on Facebook, but do it in a vague sort of way that supports your view and not theirs. If they still don't see it, you should contact a church's prayer chain so everyone else would know what they are doing and can be praying for them as well. And if that doesn't work, you probably have a senior pastor at your church, and maybe his name is Matt, and you should meet with him in a very non-gossipy, loving way and say, I just need you to know, brother, you need to talk to somebody in your church about what they're doing wrong. Is that what your translation says? No, obviously not. Otherwise, Matt would, you know, have a lot more to do than he already does. But here's what he says, and this is where it really kicked me. It says, if you see a fellow believer sinning in a way that does not lead to death, you should pray, and God will give that person life. If there's one part of my walk, I've been a Christian for over 20 years, that I am almost ashamed about is my lack of spending time with the Lord in prayer. It's one of those things that I envy. There's so many prayer warriors that I've met overseas and in different ministries that are like, oh, I just prayed for half an hour. I'm like, oh, that's like the last week and a half combined. What are you talking about? And I just do not spend time with the Lord in prayer. When I read this, it's so convicting because I have so many other things that I could do, and yet it's so, so simple. And I think John made it simple for a reason. Because wouldn't you want it to be complicated? I want it to be complicated because then I can be like, man, I tried. That was just too hard. Like, I just didn't know what to do. Like, you told me to do these 8 things, and I got through 6.5 of them, and it didn't work. But I think John makes it simple because he knows every one of us can pray. Every one of us can pray. I'm going to go on a quick rabbit trail here because sometimes when we pray, we ask God about things that he's already answered us for. This convicted me when I was preparing this, that sometimes we ask God things that we already know the answer to. Lord, I'm dating this person. I don't think we're on the same page at all when it comes to our faith. What should I do? I already told you about that in my word. Or Lord, I don't want to tell my boss that I lied to him because he's going to get really mad. What should I do? I already told you about that in my word. Or I want to cheat on this test or on my tax return because it'll just make everything so much easier. Lord, what should I do? I already told you about that in my word. And so I think sometimes we want an answer that goes contrary to God's word, and that's not going to happen. But he will answer. He sometimes will say yes. God will say yes. If it pleases him, he will do it. Sometimes God will say no. And sometimes he will say, not now, my child, not now. The time is not ready. And so keep praying. When I was talking to Matt this week, he told me, preach what you need to hear. And so here's what I think God was saying to me this week. You know that I'm God and I love you, Jeremy. Now get on your knees and spend some time with me. It's very convicting to me. I know God is real. I know that he loves me. And I know that I'm a crier. That's awkward. Can't even see my sheet anymore. And you know that there's many people that I love and that I want you to pray about. I don't know if that's a message that you can relate with today. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But when I read 1 John chapter 5, that's what sticks out to me. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we can pray. I pray that we wouldn't feel convicted out of guilt, but out of joy. That we get to spend time in our word, in your word, and that we can get to know you, Lord. What a privilege it is to call ourselves sons and daughters of you. God, I pray that as we get to know you more, that you would convince us in our hearts that you are the risen Savior, Lord, that you love us, and that your testimony, the testimony of your Son, Jesus Christ, that that is something real, and that that is something powerful in our hearts. God, I thank you for that, and I pray that as we go day by day, whether we know who you are yet or not, that we would just consider how great it is to follow you and be thankful that we get to spend eternity, not someday, but starting right now, with you, our Father. In your amazing name we pray. Amen.